Hello, my name is Oliver Pinkiewicz. I'm going to present a paper today on space-based wireless picosatellite sensor networks. The next slide is my agenda. I'm going to start with satellite background information and then go through algorithm goals and assumptions of the paper. I'll go through some deployments that they discuss, including full and partial deployments, and then go through the decision-making algorithm that they present. And then go through simulation and simulation results. On the third slide is the details of the paper I'm presenting. The paper is titled Distributive Adaptability and Mobility in Space-Based Wireless Picosatellite Sensor Networks. It's written by a whole group of researchers that are listed here, and they're all from different universities. And the paper was presented in 2008 at a NASA ESA conference on adaptive hardware and systems. So on the next slide is the background of satellites. The paper goes into the use of satellites. We all know satellites are used for telecommunications, like TV transmissions for DirecTV or satellite radio, like at SiriusXM. Satellites are also used for navigation, like GPS and weather monitoring. But the main focus of this paper is remote sensor applications of satellites, which are used to gather large amounts of information from around the world and for also both civil and military use. This paper also focuses on space-based wireless satellite sensor networks. They are typically picosatellites, like the CubeSat other students talked about previously. Space-based wireless satellite sensor networks are also similar to regular wireless sensor networks. They have the same constraints since they are small and mobile. They have limited energy and power supplies, so they're constrained on their transmission distances, which leads into also a multi-hop mesh type network. So on the next slide is the background of the picosatellites. Satellites are expensive and not easy to distribute into space. They can also be future targets in military conflicts. So this is where picosatellites come in. They're smaller and significantly cheaper. The $50,000 or so for putting a picosat in space is significantly cheaper than the tens of millions it costs for putting one of the large satellites into space. Also, you would only get one large satellite, so if there's a failure in any system, then the whole mission of the satellite is lost. And picosatellites, they, on the other hand, can be used as a sensor network and can have multiple devices from a few units to hundreds of units. So if one fails, there's still the others that are left. Also, since there are a whole bunch of them, they are harder to target in military action. So the paper argues to replace today's large, expensive single satellites with space-based wireless sensor networks, since they are cheaper, more reliable, and better for security since there are multiples of them. The features of a picosatellite network, or a space-based wireless sensor network, are that they are one, mobile and dynamic. The mobility is important so satellites can maintain or change their orbit while working with other satellites in the network. A second feature of satellite networks is that they have to be adaptable. You have to be able to change formations if a satellite goes down or some sort of event happens. Next, they have to be self-organized, so they don't have to rely on the ground-based systems. And they also have to track a target. And they should be able to do this as one system. The target tracking is for whatever application the satellite sensor network is used for. And tracking can also be used to help avoid a space junk, for example. Lastly, satellite networks need to utilize mobility to increase communications ability. So this means they have to be able to adjust their orbit to make sure they can communicate with with each other and other and also the ground-based systems. So on the next slide is the goals and assumptions. So the paper's goal was to design a distributed decision-making method for our satellite nodes to handle. And it's to handle the mobility of space-based wireless satellite sensor networks, deployment, and the whole problem of them. To start off with, they make assumptions for the algorithm. The first assumption is that each picosatellite node needs to be able to work collaboratively with others. So they need to be able to share information with its neighbor, and all nodes need to be uniform in functionality and ability too. Another important assumption they made is their algorithm deals with how they measure the distance between two nodes. They assume they can use the wireless communication process to determine distance. This was to reduce complexity and costs, and they thought it was reasonable because a few IEEE specs had that same ability. They also realized that there would be an inherent measurement errors due to this assumption for their algorithm. The last assumption they made for their algorithm was that each satellite node can access another's 1, remaining energy level, 2, total moving distance, and 3, communication leads of its neighbor. So the next slide, the proposed algorithm is going to help figure out where each satellite should be with respect to another. There are different types of deployment formations, so you can have full coverage or partial coverage. This slide goes into full coverage. And there's also some variables on this slide. So the first is RC. RC is the wireless communication range of each satellite. And RS is the second variable. It is a sensing range of each satellite. And also remember that each satellite is the same, so they will have the same RC and RS. So for full coverage deployment, as shown in the picture on the slide, the blue dots are the picosatellites, and the red circles is the RS range, so which this is the sensing range. So for full coverage, where RC is greater than RS, so the wireless communication rate is greater than the sensing range, the paper says the most efficient coverage is a hexagonal deployment, and the distance between each picosatellite should be RS. When the sensing range is greater than the communication range, then there should still be a hexagonal deployment with the max distance between each satellite being RC. On the next slide is partial deployment formations. This is for when it's not required to cover the full sensing field. You would still want to cover with the best efficiency though, so there are a few cases. The first case is shown here is it's when RC is greater than 2 times RS, so the communication range is greater than twice the sensing range, basically. This leads to gaps in coverage since there would be no sensing overlap. So if you have a security application, you wouldn't want to use this case. Another case is when half of RC is less than RS. This would lead to no communications gap between the array of picosatellites. So RS equals RC divided by 2, so half of RC, is the most efficient choice for this case. The satellites would still be in a hexagonal formation, as shown in the picture here. Smaller circles around these satellites is the RS circle, while the bigger circle is the RC circles. On the next slide, the researchers briefly talk about the algorithm they developed for mobile sensor networks. And this algorithm is called virtual force algorithm. The algorithm only uses the position information of each node's neighbor and deploys the nodes adaptively in a distributed manner. So the goal of the of the virtual force algorithm is to keep the nodes at a distance to approximately equal to RS, and make sure the distance between satellites is no longer than RC. They also went through some of the disadvantages of their virtual force algorithm, and includes vibration during converging of the final deployment information, formation, the costs more for convergence time, and three, without boundary or virtual boundary, the algorithm behaves stochastically. So on the next slide, the researchers in a paper point out that it's easy to make the picosatellites go into the formation that I showed on the previous slides, but they say it's far more complex to make the network distributive and adaptable. So their algorithm then they designed is based on decisions making between these picosatellites. The satellites share their location with each other, and then decisions can be made to help avoid collisions or holes in sensing range. They started by using portions of their virtual force algorithm that I mentioned on the previous slide. They use it to help keep the satellites at appropriate distances from each other. But there are drawbacks to the algorithm, so they added an important feature. They added a function just shown on this slide, which helps decide which nodes give orders and which nodes follow movement orders. So otherwise, they can, if they didn't have this extra function, the picosatellites can continually conflict with each other, and so they decided that the node with the highest energy level would be the controller node, and so to go through the equation here, the variable WI on the screen calculates the energy levels. EI variable is the initial energy of the node, and EI average is the present remaining average energy levels of the ith node's neighbor. And then the LC variable is used to add to the current communication load of a satellite. So if its satellite is communicating, it will have a priority in its location. So together, they add up to this function shown on the slide. The higher the number, the more priority the satellite gets with controlling movement. On the next slide, which is slide 11, is a decision tree the algorithm uses. Hopefully you guys can read this tree. It starts off in the upper left corner and goes to the right, where satellites generate a neighbor list. If the satellite reaches its desired position, then it will calculate application desired position and look for satellites in its neighbor list. If it found neighbors, then it will check if the neighbor is moving and has reached its formation. If not, it will then go back to calculating. If so, it will start over and generate a neighbor list. And then this time, if the satellite did not reach its final destination, it'll calculate the final destination again and check if neighbor satellites ask it to move. If neighbors did ask it to move, then it'll move to the desired position and check again. And there it will either stay in the same place or move to a new location. Start the whole decision tree over again. So on the next slide, slide 12, is a simulation setup. They simulate their decision-making algorithm that was shown on the previous slide, and their virtual force algorithm, and then compared the two. They also started with a satellite set in a 20 by 20 meter area, and they made a number of satellite nodes vary in that area. The final formation is, as one example is shown here in the picture on the slide, the box area there is 1,000 meters by 1,000 meters. So keep in mind that their simulator and algorithm is also 2D only. They did not go to 3D models yet. So for the results, which is shown on the next slide, there are two graphs on this slide, and they both compare virtual force to decision-making algorithms. The way to compare the two is to look at the deployment time in seconds, which is on the y-axis of the graph. The goal is to minimize deployment time, since moving satellites costs energy. So the lower time, the better. So lower on the y-axis, the better. The graph on the left shows deployment time versus number of nodes. So the decision-making algorithm took less time to reach 95% deployment when compared to the virtual force. They actually stopped the virtual force satellite node count at 400 because it was taking too much time afterwards. And the virtual force is the green line, and the decision-making is the red line in the graph. The graph shows how the decision-making algorithm can deploy more than 600 nodes in the same time as it takes the virtual force to deploy 400 nodes. The graph on the right side shows what happens when there are errors in position measurements. The y-axis is still the time, while the x-axis is position measurement error percentage. Real applications are going to have a distance measurement error, so they want to see how the algorithm behaves with these errors in there. And so the graph shows decision-making algorithm was still the best when dealing with measurement errors. Our next slide is the paper limitations. Some of the criticism I have is that they only compared their virtual force algorithm against their new decision-making algorithm. Both were algorithms they created, so it seems kind of biased. And it would have been nice to see some simulations with their decision-making algorithm against other research teams' algorithms. Another criticism is that their algorithm was 2D only. Obviously, in space, it needs to be 3D. However, I could see why they started with a 2D model, since it makes the equations much easier. They did also say their next step is to update the algorithm in 3D. For another criticism, they went over the variables RS and RC, but they didn't say where they used them in their algorithm or equations. I'm guessing it's in the movement calculations and position calculations. Another paper limitation is the WI equation. It wasn't really explained well and didn't go through how they used it in their decision-making algorithm. So like RC and RS, I'm guessing they used it in its movement calculations and position calculations. Lastly, the simulation results were lacking. They only showed the graphs that I had on the previous slide. It was two graph charts. All that being said, it was still an interesting paper on how Pico satellites can be used together and how they can communicate together, and then the different ways to implement a networking algorithm for these Pico satellites. So in conclusion, on the next slide, the researchers of this paper created a decision-making algorithm. It was designed for space-based wireless sensor networks, and it was used to determine locations of satellites with optimization how they use their limited energy to move around. The paper went into some background information of Pico satellite networking, and then some different deployment formations. They also briefly went into their previous virtual force algorithm and then their decision-making tree algorithm. And then they went into the weighted equation of which satellites have priority and movement. They also simulated their virtual force algorithm against their new decision-making algorithm. And their simulation results show that improvement using the new decision-making algorithm over the virtual force algorithm. So next slide is the question slide. If there are any questions, please post them on Sakai, and I'll get to them as soon as possible. Thanks for your time.